Well, I thought we'd share together just a little bit here this evening before we have Lord's table. I mentioned the other week that Jeff Watson has a regular thing that he puts out each Sunday after his church morning services. And I read the first paragraph because there's always something funny there. So he sent out a thing today about a bunch of Franciscan friars that were trying to raise funds for books, David, that they were publishing and getting books into their seminary and stuff. So they decided to open a florist shop. And so they opened this shop and things just started going great. Guns. Man, they were making money hand over fist, and it was going great. But there was one other florist shop in the town that was their competitor, and they're losing business, of course, because of them. So they finally, out of desperation, went and asked them, you know, would you guys just please shut down? I'm sure you've made enough money. And the friar said, no, we really don't want to. And they came back another day and pleaded with them, please, will you shut down? And no, they didn't want to. So out of desperation, the competitor hired some guy named Hugh Ferguson in town, who was the town thug, you know, the godfather type thing. And so he went into the shop one day and roughed a bunch of the friars up and trashed the place and so forth. And so the friars, you know, in fact, he said, you know, you guys close down or I'm coming back. And so at that point, the friars were terrified, and they started to look for some other way to raise their funds for their school. And he said, oh, by the way, the title of the story is Only Hugh Can Prevent Florist Friars. You only tell that one in a very close group. Susan's still waiting for the other shoe to land on that one, I think. Sorry. Okay. Got an email from Alan and Kath Masson over in Scotland. And the significance of that, Dave, is you know how old they are? He's learning to use email. He's even on Facebook, David. Okay. But they send their love and ask specifically to be remembered to the congregation. And they have fond memories. In fact, they pray regularly, not only for Debbie and me, but for us as a church body. And that's really encouraging. By the way, David, do you hear it? Or can you feel it, the vibration? Who was it that mentioned today about the vibration? Ken Humphreys. Isn't that Fort Campbell? Aren't you glad you're inside, not in the army tonight? Yeah. So, but they ask us to remember specifically the ongoing issues in the Church of Scotland with regard to the ordination of gays, including gays who marry their spouses, their gay cohorts. And so I haven't corresponded back with them, but we'll certainly do that this evening. Let me share just a couple of the things before we pray for that. And we're going to also include our friends the Stottlemyres in our prayers this evening, and we'll update you a little bit on them. It's interesting, an article from Pioneers, some of their people that are living in the Arabian Peninsula, and they don't say where particularly this is. It could be, I guess, several countries. I'm thinking it must have been Syria. But nevertheless, here's the appropriateness of this title this evening. Distant Shelling. First-hand wonder. And it really, as some of these articles do, just gives another insight into the life of these guys and gals that have given their lives to getting the gospel into these areas. And it's amazing to me that they can actually get in, first of all, and that they're able to do what they're able to do. They write, after the quiet of the past couple of weeks, the shelling of some areas of our city resumed. News reports indicate that a few of the anti-government protesters were killed during the protest march a couple of hours ago. We know that a lot of shooting that we hear is warning shots, but each time we hear another skirmish going on, we wonder if someone is being killed at that moment. Of course, it's very sobering to experience this situation, but it can also be disturbing to think that we've almost grown accustomed to falling asleep at night to the sound of distant shelling or not distant enough sniper fire. In spite of these ugly scenes from the Arab Spring here, there are some beautiful outcomes as well. For example, there's an increase in the number of young men and women who are seeking answers to life's questions from Christian websites. We've been privileged to be involved in following up those who write to Christian media sites inquiring about the Christian faith. By the way, that being said, I've mentioned several times the website that came up after Tunisia began its efforts there. And it's just simply entitled Pray for Tunisia. And recent reports are coming in with regard to a number of really positive responses to the use of the Internet. That is, it's a way for them to investigate the gospel and get the gospel out, but also for people reading it to respond to it. And it's afforded quite a way for them to do that. Another example of that is the return over the past few weeks of several mission partners who left in the earlier stages of hostilities. They've now returned from a refreshing break in their home countries, and they're eager to serve with joy in this area of conflict. By the way, when Debbie and I were in Peru years ago now, the Shining Path, the communist group, was still very active then, and part of an insurgency technique is to disrupt life for the general populace. So they disrupt the flow of water, or they blow up electric transformers. You just don't know when you're going to have power, or if you'll have it, and so forth. And that's some of the situation there. They write, the situation has impacted our family in several ways. Water is no longer being pumped to our house, though we can get large tanks trucked in and pumped into a tank in our yard. Needless to say, we've learned to really conserve water these days. I bet you really have. Yeah. Recently, we've been supplied with anywhere from 0 to 6 hours of electrical power each day. Unfortunately, there's no predictable pattern to when the electricity will be on or off. That simply makes it difficult to plan when to do laundry, email correspondence, etc. By the way, we say this. Do any of us really appreciate how much we've come to rely on just electricity, for example? I mean, here we are tonight, right? We got lights around, lights in the window, and we don't even think about it. And if it was suddenly taken away, our parents when they were children and our grandparents before them grew up, when you had the sun, you had light. When the sun went down, you went to bed. This lack of electricity also affects our daughter's online schooling program. Since there's sometimes shooting in different neighborhoods, we need to be wise about when we go out to meet people and which areas of town are safe from day to day. Since many of our colleagues have left the country, Sam, who's the husband here, has had to take on increased leadership responsibilities in our house fellowship. So they have a group meeting in their home there. As disturbing as this all may sound, actually we've found a rhythm in our daily routine and still are able to work, entertain, and visit. We believe it's been an answer to your prayers that God has given us this peace in the midst of our current storm. A short while ago, Amy and Nora were invited to attend a ladies' party for the wedding of a friend. Each of them eventually found themselves in a circle of ladies or girls chatting about the usual these days, which is politics, religion, or something like the best way to make pita bread. Both circles of conversation eventually came around to discussion centered on our faith. And by the way, I believe Amy is the wife and Nora is the daughter in this situation. Questions such as what we believe about heaven, the role of God's grace in our salvation, how we can know if we're going to heaven, were part of the conversation in this ladies' group. Amy had shared about her faith with a lot of these women before and steadfastly challenged them again to consider the meaning of the cross of Christ and his love for them in their life situation. Nora, this is the daughter's conversation with a group of schoolgirls, contained much of the same content as Amy's, but Nora left with the thrill of having seen the look of wonder on many of the girls' faces as they heard such claims for the first time. And they ask us to please continue to pray that God would grant peace to their own souls as they're living in that situation, love for their neighbors, and hearts eager to tell the gospel of salvation to them. Another story that I want to share with you in a minute, but thinking, Youngs, did you get the foreword from the Stottlemyerson? Don't know if you got to read that, John.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Trying to think how much to summarize and how much to express here. Dave and family, you didn't get it, so I just want to update you, and we'll pray for them here in a while. Greetings once again from Synagogue. We trust this letter finds you well and encouraged in the Lord. Much has happened since we last wrote to you. The time of hunger, that's in quotes, that's what people call that time there in Synagogue, was longer this year than other years. We thank the Lord for providing us with the means to help them through that difficult time. The crops are now almost in, so they'll have sufficient food once again. With the end of the raining season, there has been a lot of sickness in the village, and several of the little ones have died quite suddenly. We'll all be happy when the malaria season is past. Last month, some men stole 14 of 32 solar panels from the village's water system. You know, we're talking today about the increased theft in Trigg County. I assume it's up in Christian County as well, and really in a lot of places. But here you are in Senegal. And so Eric and the people who has constructed these solar panels over the well system for a pump that was powered, and it was just a really nice thing for the people. So 14 of those 32 panels were stolen. Eric and Jason removed that pump and put the old hand pump back in for the village to use. I think that probably was an encouragement for what happened next. A few men in the village received word as to where the panels had been taken. They crossed the border and went in search for them. They did the investigative work and then went to the police, who helped retrieve all of them. Three of the panels are broken, but Eric is seeking advice from a friend as to how we may be able to get the system up and running again. By the way, one of the amazing things to me about these missionaries when they're there, and it's what's the old adage, necessity is the mother of invention, but when you're put in a hard place, you know, you just start learning to do things that normally you wouldn't do. And these guys come back, and they weren't trained for any of this, but it just begets itself. You learn this, you learn this, and it just expands your capacity. In fact, years ago, they, I'm trying to think of the title. Every year they would do this survey to see the top people in the nation and so forth. There were always children who had grown up on the mission field with them. Always were in there, were listed up there with them. That is, they were in professions now they're doing, but they grew up in what we would say, you know, how can you learn in that situation? How can you advance? And they did very well, thank you very much. They rise and shine. This month, Eric was sick for a week, and then there was a Muslim holiday that kept his helper from working for a couple of days. Now we're currently in the capital to have paperwork taken care of. We hope to have it taken care of this week so we can get back to the school and write Bible lessons. Liv, that's the name of their helper who's from the group of islands north of Scotland, Liv is now translating the verses that Eric will need for the teaching. She and Eric are always checking with one another as to what terminology should be used for the harder concept. Rebecca, who is Eric's single sister, is helping with all the typing that needs to be done and trying her hand at what is called back to English translation. That's what consultants use to check the work. The men who have been helping Eric and Liv, that is the nationals who are helping them learn the language and do this work, are all very interested in what they're hearing. This is really very good. In fact, we've learned that they get together sometimes themselves, apart from their work with Eric and Liv. They get together to discuss what they're doing and to compare notes. This was a great encouragement to us. They're also telling their friends and family what they're hearing. We pray that God will use all of this to raise interest in the teaching to come. Jason, their son, has had friends asking him questions as well. There's a small group of people that are now living in the village who are not Bataranque. They claim to be Catholic. One of these young men recently came to talk to Jason, and he said, "Jason, we say that we're Christian, but we don't know what that means. Could you tell me what it means that what we're supposed to believe?" I mean, that's wonderful. What an open door, they write, for Jason. And would you please pray for these friends? There's a number of them who are wanting to hear why we're different, what makes a difference in our lives. While we rejoice greatly in all of this interest that's being shown, we are also well aware that there will be much opposition along the way. And if, I realize I'm just reading this stuff and the temptation or that for me, if I were sitting where you are, it would be easy just to kind of go into neutral right now, you know, and something triggers a thought and you're over here. So if you're out there, come back for this. While we rejoice greatly in all the interest that's being shown in their work there, in the gospel, we're also well aware that there will be much opposition along the way. We know the Marabu, that was a new word to me, that's the Muslim religious leader in their village, is watching us. We know he will not openly oppose us as long as he's only hearing what the Old Testament says, but we wonder how he's going to respond when we get to Christ. The Bataranque do not care for this man, but they do greatly fear him. The Marabu, who is over that person in our village, wields all the power in a very large area around us. And we know that these men are jealous of the Bataranque's relationship with us. We highly value your prayers, which sustain us in the hard times. We know that God is working here through your prayers for these people. Please continue. Thank you for your faithfulness. We appreciate all you do for us. We feel such a deep sense of gratitude for your prayers and the gifts that you send. And to the Lord, who answers those prayers and uses people like you to supply all of our needs. In him, Eric and Wendy Stottlemyre. I thought it'd be good for us to pray not only for Eric and Wendy, but the two children that are with them there, the two that are back here stateside, for Liv and Rebecca, who are working with them there, for the Lord's protection, particularly spiritually, from the Islamic leadership there. In fact, wouldn't it be wonderful to see those men become interested in the gospel and be curious and their hearts be open to that? Wouldn't that be wonderful to see that happen? What a wonder the Lord might do with that. Why don't we stop just a moment this evening and pray for several of these. Would you remember the Church of Scotland, particularly Gilcomston there in Aberdeen, Catherine and Alan Masson and that work. In fact, David, you were writing some notes down. Okay. Could you understand what I just said about the Church of Scotland and that tension that's there? Would you pray for that situation, for Alan and Kath Masson, and for the Lord to keep his people? Alan and Kath Allen and Kath Masson. Yeah. They were here, how long has it been? Years ago, over a July 4th stage. Alexander, would you pray for the Stottlemyres and situation there? Okay. Any other requests here this evening? That's a good question. They have been working, I would think, at least 15 years now. I think most of their kids were born and grew up on the field there, didn't they? So their daughter is in college, and she's in her late teens, early 20s now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And to be connected to Him. I have not read the biography of I was going to say Andrew Murray. That's not the one I'm wanting to say. Moffat, Robert Moffat, who left Scotland, went to England, became a believer in London area, and then was sent to Africa. But for years, just for years, he labored in the South African area and didn't see a thing. And suddenly, I mean, it just seemed like the heavens just opened and people just were coming to faith everywhere. It's a huge outpouring. And John, would you pray again this evening for our nation? One of the things I was going to share, had we gone to Proverbs this evening, and we're not going to, was the recent attempt on the part of the administration to keep all religious artifacts. This isn't the word I'm looking for, but it includes anything like crosses, the Bible, out of Walter Reed Hospital, and so forth. I think that was nipped in the bud and turned around, but it's a pretty, I mean, it's in your face. How else can you say it?